you're a child today, you picked the right Sunday to come to church because you're going to get chocolate milk afterwards. You might have come seen Carrie come and take the chocolate milk from me, but I didn't let her take the chocolate bars. My trust only goes so far. Dolly Parton. Does anybody know who she is? We're going to put a picture up of her. That's why we put a picture up. Dolly Parton has 3 Guinness Book of World Records. I'm going to tell you what they are. She has recorded the most decades on the U.S. Billboard Hot Country Songs chart by a female performer. 7 decades. Second, she has the most number one hits on the country charts at 25. Third, she has the most total hits on the country charts by a female artist with an astounding 109. In her memoir, Dream More, she tells the story. She's in Los Angeles one time traveling, and she hears about a pub that is going to have a contest of a Dolly Parton look-alike contest. And she thought, wouldn't it be funny to enter this? So she goes there, and how they decided who would win is the people attending would clap. And whoever had the most people clap for them would win the Dolly Parton look-alike contest. She got the least claps of anybody there. Dolly Parton lost the Dolly Parton look-alike contest. When God shows up in our lives, do we recognize him? Let's pray. Jesus, we thank you that your commitment to us is not based on our faithfulness or even our behavior. Rather, that you loved us when we were in our worst state. Come and renew us and restore us in our growing relationship with you. We pray this in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. The text today is Lamentations 3, 1 to 66. Ernie will do the best he can to keep up with me as I go. What happens when things go really wrong in our world and in our lives? There are times when we can personally know great hardship, sickness, loss, accidents, a fire, a bankruptcy, a family death. Someone from my high school stopped to help another person whose car was broken down. He was standing between the two cars when someone hit the one car from behind. He had to have his leg amputated. I can't imagine losing one's leg for the rest of your life over a fluke incident trying to help somebody else. Other times in life, there can actually be a corporate grief or suffering, where a town, a city, or a people group encounter calamity together and then mourn and sorrow. After the assault on the Twin Towers in New York by hijacked airplanes on 9/11 that killed 3,000 people and injured thousands more, the city and nation were trying to make sense of it all. Tim Keller's church in New York usually had attendance of 600 people, but had over 5,000 the Sunday after 9/11. Somehow trying to come to grips to explain the unexplainable. In the book of Lamentations, the nation of Israel is trying to grasp all that's been lost. Babylon has ransacked Jerusalem, and those they did not kill ended up in chains, in exile, far from home. This is the third of the 5 poems found in Lamentations. This lament was a form of protest, a way to process things on an emotional level, and a place to voice all the confusion. To ask God, why is this happening to me? What is your future plan for us? We may have similar questions when fires burn large portions of our province almost every year now, or when villages are swept away by floods in India, or when families are wiped out in villages of Africa from famine. The prophet Jeremiah is trying to find the words that resonate with the whole of the nation in their suffering. Lamentations 3, 1 to 3. I'm the one who has seen affliction under the rod of God's wrath. He has driven and brought me darkness without any light. Against me alone he turns his hand again and again all day long. Why has God become an enemy of the people he loves? Why has he deserted them to their own demise? The people of Judah have become wicked and ruthless, sacrificing their own children by fire to the false god of Baal, pounding the poor, the orphan, the widow into the ground, and profiting off them through deceit and power. Their evil actions make the people of Judah look more like their neighbors than like the God who cared and watched over them for generation after generation. They're in darkness, but they've chosen this over the light. Lamentations 3, 4 to 9. He has made my flesh and skin waste away. He has broken my bones. He has besieged and enveloped me with bitterness and tribulation. He has made me sit in darkness like the dead long ago. He has walled me about so I cannot escape. He put heavy chains on me, though I call and cry for help. He shuts out my prayer. He blocked my way with hewn and high stones. He has made my path crooked. When everything is going fine in our lives, and it feels like we have the magic touch, where nothing goes wrong, we don't need to reflect much. Just keep doing what you're doing, because everything is working and going your way. In fact, write a book. Has anyone here ever thought of writing a book? In fact, write a book to tell others how you do it and make even more money. When do we get quiet enough to ponder life and faith and where we're headed? Jeremiah says, he made me sit in darkness and there was no way to escape. Difficulty and hardship often bring periods of reflection because it's too painful to stay any longer in the situation we presently find ourselves in. We become open to other options, even God's direction in our life. Lamentations 3, 10 to 19. He is a bear lying in wait for me, a lion in hiding. He has made me desolate. He bent his bow and sent me as a mark for his arrow. I have become the laughingstock of all my people, the object of taunt and mocking songs all day long. My soul is bereft or separated from peace. I've forgotten what happiness is. Gone is my glory and all I'd hoped for from the Lord. The fate of the city and the poet are one and the same as they're suffering together. When God is for us, who can be against us? When God is against us, it doesn't matter who's for us. All this time, the people of God have relished in God's provision, protection, peace, and favor. They've rejected him, so he's let them go it alone, on their own path, doing what they've always wanted to do. But it's not worked so well. Peace is something that is easy to take for granted until it's gone. When you don't have peace, it can feel like a fire of angst is burning inside of you. Lamentations 3, 20 to 24. There's an amazing, surprising shift. My soul continually thinks of this awful time and is bowed down. But this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercy never comes to an end. They're new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, inheritance, says my soul. Therefore, I'll hope in him. Even though the people of Judah had created a widening distance between themselves and God, the Lord has not forgotten them. God's character is everything that Israel's not. His love is steadfast and never stops. His mercy are ever bubbling our way. With every new day, his mercy toward us starts all over again. His faithfulness toward them, you could take it to the bank. Judah should have been trustworthy and faithful in their relationship with God, but they weren't. But it was just their luck that love, faithfulness, and mercy are woven together in God's character, who He is, what His divine nature is. Both suffering because of the people's rebellion, yet redemption because of who God is, are all part of the same story. Lamentations 3:25-30. The Lord is good to those who wait for Him. I'm going to say that again. The Lord is good to those who wait for Him, to the soul that seeks Him. It's good to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. It's good to bear the yoke or the discipline, to submit at early age, to give one's cheek or to turn the other cheek, to accept insults from the enemies. I wonder what would happen if we created space to be alone with God, where we wouldn't be in such a hurry, where it'd be quiet enough that you could hear your own heartbeat, instead of trying to make a way for ourselves and running over everyone else in the process, that rather we could embrace patient endurance and allow God to rescue and deliver on His timeline instead of our self-imposed one. Learning to submit to God and those He places over us, and keeping soft enough hearts that we do not retaliate when others wrong us. Lamentations 3:30-39. For the Lord will not reject forever. Although He causes grief, He'll have compassion according to the abundance of His steadfast love. Or He does not willingly afflict or grieve anyone. When prisoners are crushed underfoot, when justice is perverted in the presence of the Most High, does the Lord not see it? Does not the Most High send both calamity and good? Then why should we complain when we're punished for our sins? Although it can seem like people get away with things at school, at home, at work, in society, politicians, those with power, they aren't. The God of the universe sees all and knows all, and these will be held accountable. And so will we for how we've wronged others. But be encouraged that God is compassionate and has steadfast love for those who own up to their misdeeds. Lamentation 3:40-51. Let us test and examine our ways and return to the Lord. Let us lift up our hearts as well as our hands to the God of heaven. We've transgressed and rebelled, and you have not forgiven. You've wrapped or hidden yourself in a cloud so no prayer can pass through. My eyes flow with rivers of tears because of the destruction of my people. My eyes flow with tears without ceasing until the Lord looks down and sees. At some point, it's wise to take inventory in our lives of where we've been and where we're headed. Do we have junk and burdens collecting in our souls? Is there peace between us and God, between us and our neighbor, between us and our family? Do we embrace godly sorrow when we notice the distance that we've created between Christ and others? Lamentations 3:52-57. It sounds a little bit like a court case producing evidence. Those without cause have hunted me like a bird. They threw me in a pit and dropped stones on me. Water rose over my head, and I said, I'm lost. This is the end. But I called on the name of the Lord from the depths of the pit, and you heard my plea. Don't close your ear to my cry for help. You come near when I call on you, and you said, do not fear. You came near when I called on you, and you said, do not fear. Some of the most powerful prayers we will ever pray are those that are filled with desperation. We know we're in trouble, and there's no way to escape. There's no get out of jail free card. If God does not show up, we are not going to make it into next week, next month, next year. I cried out, and he heard me. And he said, do not fear. The Lord is greater than our fears. The last portion, 58 to 66. You have taken up my cause, O Lord. You have redeemed my life. You have seen the wrong done to me and judged my cause. You have seen all the plots against me. You have heard all the name calling and all of their plans. Pay them back for all the evil they've done. Give them anguish of heart. Let your curse be on them. Pursue them in your anger and destroy them from under the Lord's heaven. Have you been so hurt that you wanted God to spank those who've inflicted such pain on you? This is how Jeremiah feels as Judah is carried off into slavery. It is a very good thing that we often do not have the position or the power to enact revenge. God does not ask us to vindicate ourselves. In fact, he asks us to let him handle all of our grievances. For his steadfast love never ceases, and his mercies never come to an end, not only for us, but also those we consider our enemies. Wakefield tells the story of the famous inventor Samuel Morris. He interviewed him one time and he said to Morris, do you ever come to the point where sometimes you don't know what to do? That you're completely stumped and lost? And Morris said, oh yeah. And the guy said, what do you do then? He said, I fall on my knees and I pray. And I ask God for clarity. Morris received many honors for his invention of the telegraph, but he felt undeserving. I've made a valuable application of electricity, not because I was superior to other people, but solely because God, who meant it for mankind, must reveal it to someone, and he was pleased to reveal it to me. What a great take. All the giftings of our life have come from God. And he's done it to gift us so we could serve our world, so we could love our world, so we could be kind to our world. Jeremiah is a lonely man, speaking out of his suffering and grief as a representative of his own people. The prophet sees the suffering as justice, but also sees the great potential for hope. Because if God's covenant agreement is based on his faithfulness, we will not perish. His mercies never fail. They're new every morning. How great God's faithfulness in the past, in the present, in the future. Even at times when all seems lost, we can fully trust in God's character, his goodness and faithfulness. Although we are Christ's followers individually, we're also part of a bigger family known as the church. We care what happens in our lives, but we should equally care about what happens in each other's lives. Romans 12, 15, it says, be happy with those who are happy and weep with those who weep. Our relationship with Jesus expands our hearts and our abilities to see and live beyond ourselves. We want to live honorably, with deep devotion, first in our relationship with God, secondly within ourselves, learning to become self-aware and allowing needed changes to happen continually, third in our relationship with others. We can grow to live in harmony with others as ourself instead of seeing those who think differently as us as an enemy. Fourthly, within our created world, that we would cherish what we've been given and care for all of creation. Sometimes we sin individually against others and God. Sometimes we sin as a corporate unit, as the church. This is where the people of Judah found themselves. We must stand against injustice instead of profiting from it, to protect the most vulnerable who cannot protect or defend themselves in our society. As the Bible Project said, if God is consistent enough to bring justice on human evil, then he'll also be consistent enough with his covenant promise or agreement to not allow evil to have the final say. We want to be working alongside God instead of against him. We realize such a commitment could bring us suffering, individually and corporately, in the days ahead. The Apostle Paul says in 2 Corinthians 1:5, "For the more we suffer for Christ, the more God will shower us with his comfort through Christ." We need to make sure that we're suffering for God's will over our own ideas. When God's judgment and justice prevails, it's almost like a garden that has been freshly planted with vegetable seeds. For with it, there's hope for the future. Let's pray. God, we ask forgiveness in all the ways we've wronged you and others, in personal and direct and indirect ways. We also ask forgiveness as a faith community when we've acted wrongly and unfairly toward others, knowingly or unknowingly. Let us be part of your future plans in healing and loving our world into the advancement of your kingdom. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Holy God, come and behold him, the one and the only, cry out, sing holy, forever a holy God.
have a couple announcements. Benediction, we'll sing one more song and then we'll be dismissed. No youth this week, no men's group this week. All the other groups are running. If you want prayer today, there are people in the back that will pray with you. I've got good news. As you go under the sign of the cross, knowing that God's love is everlasting, there is no end to his mercies. It doesn't matter what has happened in the past. It doesn't matter who has wronged you. Today is a new day that we're following him and allowing him to speak to our hearts in guiding us even how to love our neighbor. Amen.
Feel free to stand. Everybody.